1 Kings 18, and we're going to look at verse 36, 37, 38. We'll actually be over in chapter 17 as well. So you want to keep your Bible open when we get through reading here in just a moment. And we'll jump right into this evening. 1 Kings 18, 36, 37, and 38. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good word before they come sing for us, and then we get into the message. Please read verse 37 with me. If you have a Bible, if you don't, just listen along. The Bible says, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your book. I pray that you will help us tonight to see something from it that will be a great help to us. And I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to every heart in this room. May this meet a need. May it help us, Lord. I'm thankful that your word has that power. And I trust the Holy Spirit tonight to help us get that done. Bless the song, those that sing, our hearts as we listen. May it prepare us for the good word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, be seated, please.
I recall a tender steeple, a church house filled with people, and voices lifted up in happy song. With music so exciting, so warm and so inviting, I had to enter in and sing along. Then as I joined right with them, what harmony and rhythm, my heart was lifted up to heaven above. I felt like shouting glory when I heard the gospel story, the songs about my Jesus and his love.
I love that
good old gospel singing, happy gospel singing, ringing out so loud and clear. Like an angel choir, how it lifts me higher, making heaven seem so near.
Come on and
join right in the chorus, really slow the chorus. Let that happy sound prolong. Everybody sing it, make it ring until the whole world sings along.
With voices lifted high, we sing sweet by and by, and rock of ages clap for even me.
I love to tell the story of Jesus and his glory. Alas, and did my Savior bleed for me?
For sin, the old high power, I need thee every hour, and nothing but the blood can make me whole. Oh, happy, happy day, we wash my sins away. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
I love that
good old gospel singing, happy gospel singing, ringing out so loud and clear. Like an angel choir, how it lifts me higher, making heaven seem so near.
Come on and
join right in the chorus, really slow the chorus, let that happy song prolong. Everybody sing it, make it ring until the whole world sings along. Until the whole world sings along. Until the whole world.
Frog in that song, amen. That was good, Paul, amen. I enjoyed that. Wonderful, all right. Well, I want to be a help to you again tonight, church. We spoke last Sunday evening on the image maker and talked about, in the last 3 months, we've just seen all kind of things come to people in the church and or relatives or friends of people in the church and as far back as Brother Brittick going to heaven. And of course, last Sunday when I preached, I had no idea Brother Ray would go through what he did this week. Brother Hanks would go to heaven. And so it's I hope it's a timely message. I started out as a devotion to our staff this past Wednesday, but it's just been on my mind. I think it has the potential to be a blessing to you, and I hope God will use it that way tonight. I want to speak on the subject, prerequisites to Carmel. I want to say caramel, but prerequisites to Carmel, of course, the mount here in 1 Kings 18. Let's pray, and we'll jump into this. Lord, my voice all of a sudden scratchy and weak. I don't know why, but I pray that you'll touch it and help it. I pray that you'll help me to be able to preach this message as you'd have me. And maybe you sent that on purpose tonight, Lord. So just use me, I pray, like a carpenter would use an old tool out of his pouch. And that's all I ask. God, if you are honored and exalted, Jesus is lifted up. If people are helped, then, Lord, that's all we are happy with. And I pray that you'll just do a good work tonight. Lord, if there's someone in our midst tonight who's not saved, I pray that the Spirit of God will draw them to Jesus Christ this evening. And may we hear from you is my prayer. In Christ's name and amen. Elijah on Mount Carmel, to me, is one of the great stories in the Bible. I mean, just outstanding. It is obviously one of the great stories of the Old Testament. You know, I was a little surprised last summer. Remember we did the favorite stories of the Old Testament last summer? We voted on, maybe there was 20 or 24 stories, and you picked your favorite 12. This did not make the list. I was surprised at that because, man, this one ranks up there at the top as far as I'm concerned. I think it's a great, great story. Now, the word Carmel, Mount Carmel, this is where it took place. Carmel means plentiful. Carmel means fruitful. That's what the word Carmel means. And truly, Carmel was a fruitful and plentiful place for Elijah. Think about it. Total humiliation of those false prophets. Total humiliation. I mean, they jumped around and screamed, cut themselves, and hollered for that false god Baal to send fire for hours. And he didn't hear, he couldn't answer, and he didn't give a flip. That's because he's not real. Like Allah's not real, and like Muhammad's not real, and all these other false gods out there. So he didn't hear. And what a total humiliation. And then total annihilation. They destroyed them all, 450 of them. 450 plus 400, 850 false prophets annihilated. Then, of course, the revelation of Jehovah as the one true God. The rain, the fire fell, and the sacrifice was burnt up, and the wood was burnt up, and the altar, the stones were burnt up, and the water was licked up, and where there was an altar with the sacrifice drenched with water and wood stacked on there. After it was done, there was nothing. We read the Bible like it's a fairy tale. We don't let it sink in. There's nothing there. And it's not some genie in a bottle. It's the fire of God falling and consuming that thing completely. And that's what happened there on the mountain. The people were convinced. They fell down on their faces. They said, Jehovah is God. Jehovah is God. The rain that had not come in 3.5 years came. It was. You talk about having a good Sunday. Elijah had a good Sunday. Amen. He had a good day on Mount Carmel, and a fruitful Sunday, a plentiful Sunday. That's what Carmel means, a place of plentifulness and fruitfulness. That's what Carmel means. Now, we rejoice in glory in Carmel, and we all want to go to a spiritual Carmel. Everybody wants a spiritual Carmel. Everybody wants the revival fire. Everybody wants the plenteousness. Everybody wants the fruitfulness. I'm not talking now about materialism. I'm talking about spiritual fruitfulness. I'm talking about spiritual blessings. I'm talking about blessings that far outweigh material blessings, okay? Everybody wants that. Everybody wants to be on Mount Carmel, but we never stop to analyze the places that Elijah was required to visit before he got to Carmel. Prerequisite places. I learned about prerequisites my first year in Bible college in registration line as a green behind the ear rookie freshman looking at the course schedule. I said, I'd like to take Daniel and Revelation. And they said, well, have you had the prerequisite? I said, what's that? They said, that is the course that's required in order for you to take Daniel and Revelation. I said, what is it? Old Testament survey is the prerequisite to Daniel and Revelation. No, I haven't had Old Testament survey. You have to take that first before you can take Daniel Revelation. Before I could take pastoral epistles, I had to take New Testament survey. That was a prerequisite. That was something that was required previously. That's what a prerequisite is. Something that is previously required. So before I could take Daniel Revelation, I had to take Old Testament survey. Before I could take pastoral epistles, I had to take New Testament survey. And I'll tell you something, folks. When you look at this story, you see that there are two other places that Elijah was required to visit before he got to Carmel. Two of them. And let me say tonight, don't let this go without noticing it, that the thing to realize is that God sent him there. It wasn't his choosing. God said, no, just like the college told me, no, you can't take this until you've had this. And you can't take this until you've had this. God said, you can't get to Carmel. I'm not going to send you to Carmel until you go through these other two places. The prerequisites to Carmel. Everybody wants the Mount Carmel experience. Everybody wants to be on the mountaintop with God. Everybody wants the fire to fall. I do. Everybody wants the spiritual plentifulness and the spiritual fruitfulness, but there are prerequisites to getting to Carmel. And you see them in this story here in the two places that Elijah was required to visit. Back up one chapter, chapter 17, and look with me if you will, please, at verse number 2 and 3. Here's your first prerequisite to Carmel. It's Cherith. Cherith. Look at verse number 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, get thee hence. This is talking to Elijah now. Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Now, if you like to make notes in your Bible or piece of paper, the word Cherith means, I hate this for my daughter, but it means to cut off. That's exactly what we did after child number 6. Amen. That's why you named her Cherith. Yeah, that's right. Cut off. That's it. 6, no more. Amen. And we haven't lost an ounce of sleep over that. Amen. Not a one. It means to cut off. It's a place of cutting. Listen carefully. The root word, are you familiar with when covenants were made in the Old Testament between two people? They would take an animal, in some cases, and they would cut that animal from tail to head or head to tail. They would slice that animal open long ways like this, and lay both sides open. And then they would pass some fire through that animal. And that was how they sealed a covenant. They didn't sign on the dotted line like you and I would do nowadays with a contract. That was how they did a covenant. They cut an animal from lengthwise and laid it open, and then they passed some fire through it. And the root word of Carmel is a reference to what happened when they made that covenant, when they cut that animal and passed the fire through there. So before we can experience Carmel, or I should say the root word of Cherith, before we can experience Carmel, we must experience Cherith. A cutting. A cutting of the flesh. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like to be cut. I remember when I cut my hand right here, still bear the scar right here, when I was working at the grocery store and I sliced my hand with a box cutter. I didn't like that. I don't like pain. It hurts too much. Amen. I don't like to get cut by a knife. I don't like to be cut by anything. I don't like to be cut. I don't want to be cut on. And the truth of the matter is, I don't think you enjoy it very much either. I'm talking about physically. But we're not talking physically here. We're talking spiritually. Cherith is a place of cutting away of flesh. Cutting away of self. The cutting away of self-pride. You see, friend, the biggest hindrance, the biggest enemy we have as far as getting to Carmel is concerned, is ourself. We are our biggest hindrance. It's not the circumstance. Believe me, it's not the circumstance. People in worse circumstances have reached Mount Carmel. It's not the circumstance. It's not the job. It's not the income or the lack thereof. It's not the education or the lack thereof. It's not the lack of this material item or this material thing. The biggest hindrance to getting to Carmel, for me, is me. And the biggest hindrance to getting to Carmel for you is you. It's our flesh. It's our pride. It's the self-pride in us. And that's what God did for Elijah. He took him to a place of cutting. He took him to a place of self-cutting. Cutting self away. Not physically, but spiritually. You see, Elijah's a strange character. It just burst on the scene. You're not told anything about his mother. You're not told anything about his father. We know nothing about his family. All we say is, here it is, verse number, he shows up, he goes before the king of Israel, and he says, there'll be no dew nor water until I say so. And that's it. And by the way, when Elijah said that, God turned the water off. Now, can I suggest to you that that could have the potential to go to a man's head? If you just show up and say, there's not going to be any dew nor rain for until I say. That's what he said. Won't be any water, no dew, no rain, until I say so. Because that's what God told him to say. And as soon as he said that, God turned the water off. So here's this great prophet. Stand before the king and say, no water, no rain, till I say. God says, okay, Elijah, thank you for that. Now, I'd like you to go to the next place. The next place I'd like you to go is a brook by the name of Cherith. I want you to go out there by the brook, and I want you to be there. I wonder what Elijah thought about that. He went out by the brook Cherith. There's nobody there. There's no people there. There's no place to stay there. He's there out in the wide open by a brook, and birds bring him bread and flesh in the morning, and birds bring him bread and flesh in the evening. And there by the brook Cherith, he stays. We're not told how long. He drinks out of the brook. He stays there until the brook is dried up. There's nobody there. He's all by himself. I mean, he has to wonder to himself, what is this all about? What is the purpose for this? Why am I here? Just a couple of days ago, I was standing in front of King Ahab, pointing my finger in his face and saying, because of your sin, there's not going to be any dew or water until I come to tell you there will be. Now he's out in the middle of nowhere, being fed by birds. Now, friend, I'm going to tell you something that had to work on Elijah's pride. And God puts us in situations that sap the pride right out of us. He puts us into circumstances and places that cut away at our self-pride. You see, fruitfulness and plenteousness, spiritually speaking, are hindered greatly by pride. God cannot make us fruitful while we are filled with pride. You have to say, I'm not insinuating or even suggesting that any of the people who have gone through difficult circumstances in the last 3 months are going through it because of pride. But I am saying that God does take us to Carmel and God takes us to Cherith so that we have the opportunity to cut away the self-pride that hinders His blessings. And you know, you have to be honest with yourself. When you get in difficult circumstances, you do a lot of soul searching. You do a lot of soul searching. And that's not bad. That's good. That's exactly what Elijah did. No doubt by this brook. How about Joseph down there in prison? Forgotten about for 2.5 years. He's forgotten over for 2 years. I mean, he's in jail unjustly. He's not there for a just cause. He was trying to keep his character by avoiding the woman's sensuous suggestions. And he ends up in jail, and then he interprets the dream and he tells the butler, hey, when you're restored to your place of service, don't forget me. And the butler no doubt said, oh, no problem, I'll remember you. 2 years. Are you listening tonight? 2 years. Not 2 weeks, not 2 months. 2 years. That man is stuck in that prison. And I'll guarantee you some things are going on in that prison. One of the things going on in that prison, Joseph was doing a lot of soul searching. He was looking inside his own life. And you have to wonder how Elijah felt in front of a king one day and beside a brook the next day. I can see myself out there. I mean, waiting. What am I doing? Walking back and forth, pacing by the brook. Lord, where am I going to go next? Where am I going to go next? What do you got for me to do now? What am I supposed to do now, Lord? What do you have me to preach now? What do you want me to say now? Where do you want me to go, Lord? I can see Elijah doing that. And here come the birds again. And here they come with the bread and flesh in their mouth. And then they wing their way. And who wants to eat bread and flesh brought by birds? But that's all he's got. He eats that or he dies. So he sits there and he eats the bread and flesh, and then here they come the birds again. It's a very, very humbling experience. And that's exactly what Cherith means. It means cutting. It means a place of cutting. It means cutting away self, cutting away self-pride. Let me ask you a question. Is God mad at him? No. Is God angry with him? No. Is God tired of Elijah? I'm tired of you. Put you out by the brook. I'm tired of you. No, God's not tired of him. God is just doing a little clipping on Elijah. Here, Elijah, let me clip a little bit this away. Here, Elijah, let's clip a little bit of this away. Here, Elijah, let's clip a little bit of this away. And let's cut a little bit of this away. I'm just trying to get to that nasty old pride. And I want to get that cut out. I'll tell you, the honest truth of the matter is, if we're honest with each other, there's nothing harder on a man's pride, especially, than to be on his back. Unable to work. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you that. I mean, that's what, oh, Brother Ray, when can I go back to work? When he said, tell me today. He said, Pastor, I feel like I go to work today. Boy, man, doesn't like to be on his back. Don't like to be. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. Listen very carefully. Sometimes God puts us in situations like that so that we'll take a good long look internally at what is going on. What, am I okay? Are things right in my life? Last week, the image maker, you pass through that thing. God impresses the image of Jesus Christ on us using pressure. That's how he does it. And then he puts us in these Cherith type experiences where we have to cut away the pride and the self-pride that gets up in all of us. We have to ask ourselves, Lord, why did this happen? Do I need to cut a little bit of something out? Am I this? Am I that? Is there something wrong? Is there something wrong in my heart? Show me. Help me. And God puts us there by Cherith so that we can deal with our self-pride. It's a place of cutting. I'm sure if we're around the room tonight, we could get testimonies from some of you folks. That when we got, I could give you a testimony. When we got in those hard and difficult circumstances, begin to look at the inside. You don't like what you see. And boy, God says, look, let's get rid of that. Let's cut that out. Let's get that out. Let's cut that back. It's a place of cutting. Oh, we all want to go to Carmel. But there was a prerequisite before you get there. It's called a place of self-cutting away self-pride. Cutting away what the old self that gets up inside of us. And everybody in this room, I've been at it too long, and I'm a person myself, in case you didn't know. We're all tempted to think highly of ourselves. We all get pretty puffed up with ourselves every now and then. Think we're doing pretty good, you know. Men especially. Man's ego's huge. Part of that's on purpose. God made us that way to be leaders. But I'm going to tell you something, fellas, it can't be too big. There are times when God has to put us in the squeeze that puts us down so that we can take a long look at ourselves. And boy, do I need to cut this back. What do I need to get rid of? It's called Cherith. It's called a place of cutting. Cutting away of self before you can get to Carmel. But there's another place that Elijah was required to visit besides Cherith. And it was the place called Zarephath. Look at verse number 8 and 9 of the same chapter. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. Chapter 17, verse 8 and 9. And dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So where he goes from the brook Cherith to Zarephath. You know what Zarephath means? Refinement. It means purging. It means melting. You know what Zarephath is? It's a place of humbling. See, he gets us to Cherith. We get the pride cut out. And then he says, God, I want you to get in this situation right here so it will humble you. See, God can't work in my life if I'm proud. God's blessing comes with humility. That's where God's blessing comes. The Bible says twice in the book of Proverbs, before honor is humility. And that's what God does. He takes us to the place of refinement. He takes us to the place of melting. He takes us to the place of purging. He takes us to the place of humbling. Here comes Elijah. And God said, I got a widow woman there who's going to sustain you. And Elijah goes, good, man, a rich widow lady. He gets there. She's poor as Job's turkey. She's got nothing. Zip. Zero. Nothing. She has enough meal and enough oil to make one cake for her and her boy. They're going to eat that and they're going to die. And that's where he sends Elijah. Can't you, don't you imagine? God, you know, Elijah probably thought, Lord, I ate food that the ravens brought me for how long? And now I'm going to go to a place where this widow woman, she has nothing. God, I don't want to go there. And you know what God said? That's a prerequisite. That's where you've got to go. You've got to go to Zarephath before I'm going to put you on Carmel. You've got to visit this place of purging. You've got to visit this place of melting. Folks, nobody enjoys having the heat turned up. Nobody does. And it could be all the ways I talked about last week. It could be the financial reversals. It could be the job. It could be the health. It could be a number of things. But when the heat's turned up, we don't like that. We want our comfort zone. But God puts us beside Zarephath and He turns the heat up to refine us, to purge us, to melt out the impurities. God, I don't want to go there. I want to go there. Before you can go there, son, you've got to go here. You've got to go to Zarephath. You see, there is where I want you to go. Now, had Elijah not gone there, Elijah would not have made it to Now, on Carmel, the fire fell. But both prerequisites to Carmel dealt with pride and humility. And do you know what the first step to revival is? Well, let me let God tell us. 1 Chronicles 7:14, and if my people, which are called by my name, shall, number one, humble themselves. When you think of revival, what do you think of? I think of enthusiasm. I think of energy. I think of fire. That's what happened on Carmel. That's what happened on Carmel. Fire fell. Revival. The people fell on their faces and said, Jehovah is God. A revival spirit. Prayed down by a man that was required by God to deal with his pride and humility before the fire would ever fall. That's what keeps us from revival. Pride. It's what keeps us from the fire of God. The blessing of God. We're not humble. So God has us visit Cherith and God has us visit Zarephath, places of cutting and places of purging and places of melting and places of heat. And He sends us in those places to purge us, to prepare us for Carmel. I looked up a verse this afternoon. Isaiah 57:15. Don't miss this. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Isn't that amazing? God inhabits eternity. Whose name is holy. This is what he said. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit to revive the spirit of the humble. And you see, friend, when God begins to cut away at our pride, it is then that we must humble ourselves and deal with what God has put His finger on. Can I give you, without going into detail, a personal testimony? I've been at Cherith where God has cut away and showed me the things that He did not want in my life. And in humility, I had to humble myself before God and say, okay, God, if that's what you want out, then that's what's going to go. It's called purging. It's called preparation for Carmel. Our problem is we do not want to humble ourselves. We don't want to yield to God. God says this must change. We stiffen. And then wonder why there's no fire. God sends us back to a Cherith. And God sends us back to a Zarephath before I'm ever going to put you on Carmel. You're going to have to go through the process that's required to get to Carmel. You're going to have to cut away the self-will. Cut it away. Get the pride out and humble yourself. Our problem is we don't want to come to that first step of 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. We don't want to humble ourselves. No. God deals with us in church. Here, you want to know a great place to humble yourself? Right here. That's called the altar. That's a great place to humble yourself. But you know what? We don't want to humble ourselves. We don't want to. No. We are, let me count this off here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. We're 33 feet from humbling. And that's too far. 33 feet from revival, that's too far. Folks, that's not far. These side aisles can't be much further than that. I know. We paced this thing off. One of the reasons we built it like it was. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. It's one of the reasons this auditorium is the dimensions that it is. It's not very far from anywhere in this auditorium than an altar. 50 feet to revival. We won't do that. Because, see, if God speaks to my heart, I can pray just as easily right here as there. I can pray just as effectively here as there. Not if God said there. If God said that's the place of revival, then that's not the place of revival. We won't do that. We won't walk 45 feet for revival. And I don't care what you say. You can say all you want to say, argue all day long. I've been 26 years in this thing, friend. The churches that have a revival spirit have an active altar. The churches that keep a revival spirit have that's just a, no. Tell you what to do. Take a sabbatical. Take off for 6 months. Drop in every independent fundamental Baptist church you can find, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and you check out the active altars and those that aren't. See if the spirit of revival is in any of those churches that don't have an active altar. Come on, Jason. When you start deputation, friend, you're going to find out. My son called me on the phone. He said, Dad, I can't believe it. Some churches, he said, Dad, you walk in and the spirit of revival is in the air. You do a little survey when you get out there, bud. And mark my words, see if I'm not right. You know why, folks? Because this is a place of death. This is a place of humility. This is a place of humbleness. This is a place of walking forward. I can just state, if God said there, Elijah, there. No, Lord, I don't think I need to make that trip to Zarephath. I'll tell you what, I'll go there. Oops. He would never have gone to Carmel. Never gone. Christian gets stale in life. Starts to question all the things that have been taught about the Bible and everything. Question this and question that. And there's no fire burning in the heart. When was the last time you humbled yourself? Humble yourself. If my people, you see, I'm all for writing these senators, and I'm all for writing these congressmen, writing President Bush these letters, and I think we should. But I'm going to tell you something. You know where America's going to start to get turned around? Judgment must begin at the house of God. If revival doesn't happen in our hearts, in this church, in this room, it's not coming to Bourbonnais. Revival doesn't happen in our hearts in this room. It's not coming to Illinois, friend. This is where it begins. That's what the Bible says in the New Testament. Judgment begins at the house of God. It's part of humbling ourselves. You see, our problem is we don't want to take that first step to revival. Humble ourselves. That's why God sent Elijah to Carmel, to Cherith. That's why God sent Elijah to Zarephath before he got to Carmel. You think it's a coincidence that these places, these names mean what they do in succession? Do you think that's just a coincidence? God's not haphazard. He's not haphazard, whatever you want to do. God is a very structured, orderly God. Elijah, you'll go here and you'll go here before I put you up there. It's called cutting. It's called a place of humility. We want to deal with God on our terms. It doesn't work. You might deal with the car dealer on your terms. You might buy furniture on your terms. You might buy with the real estate agent on your terms, but you're not going to deal with God on your terms. I deal with God on His terms. His terms only. Sometimes God comes and He wants to deal with us, and I think we just lock down. The Lord, not now. And certainly not there. And I think God just goes away. Revival fire never falls. Because the creature is trying to deal with the Creator on his own terms instead of God's. You know what that's called? That's called the height of pride. That's the apex of pride. When the creature looks at the Creator and says, "No, I'll do it this way." We want God to take us to Carmel. We want the revival. A place of plenteousness. Fruitfulness. Where the fire falls. God is real. I sense His presence. The place of blessing. But we don't realize the prerequisites to Carmel are Cherith and Zarephath. Cutting away and humbling ourselves. You see, cutting and refinement are necessary before there is fruitfulness. What's one of the things that you do to your fruit trees to make them more fruitful? You prune them. You cut them. What do you do to your shrubs and your plants? You cut them back. You took the old electric clippers last fall to all those spirea around the deck and just cut them. About like that. You ought to see them today. Bright. Green. Beautiful. I cut them last fall. That's what God wants to do to us. Oh God, bless me. Bless my family, bless my marriage, bless my children, the older children that are married, Lord, those in elementary school, God, bless my home, bless us. They want that? Ah! Stop! Okay. Truth of the matter is, sometimes we get spiritually flabby. It's spiritually slack. The refiner's fire must purge us before the revival fire falls. It must. It's called the refiner's fire. Last 3-4 months, I've never seen more folks in this church go through different adverse circumstances. And as you heard me say last week, sometimes adverse circumstances are just that, adverse circumstances. And as you heard me say last week, when somebody has an adverse circumstance, in no right gives anybody in the room the liberty to point a finger and say, "Well, God's dealing with them." That's not your business. It's not even mine. But if God puts me in an adverse circumstance, I'm going to tell you the first place I'm looking. Or what I need. Something got to be cut away. Something needs to be purged. Because I want God's blessing. I've got to have it. It's a cruel, mean world. Our kids are going to go up to serve God. We're going to have any kind of ministry here long term. It's a blessing for years and years and years to people. We've got to have God's blessing. Over in London, England, in St. Paul's Cathedral, beautiful edifice. There are 637 steps to the dome. That's a lot of steps. People walk up those steps and walk out. 9/10 of the way up, there's a little door. Goes out to a balcony, and you can stand out on that balcony and you can look out over the city of London. But if you want to go up into the dome, you have to come back in, and there's a real small door, short door that leads up to the dome. And there's a sign above that door that has these words on it: go down to go up. Go down to go up. That's how it is in the Christian life. If I'm going to go to Carmel, I'm going to have to go through Cherith. I'm going to have to go through Zarephath. Nobody enjoys that. But we all sure like Carmel. And we've been there. You've been there. I've been there. Prerequisites aren't always fun. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you for listening tonight. Our Father in heaven, I pray that you'll help this message tonight to be a blessing to people. Encourage hearts. Bless folks. I look back, Lord, over these last 3 or 4 months, and I'm astounded by the adverse circumstances that many, many people have been called by you to face. Lord, I'll never know the reason why. Till we go to heaven someday, I guess. Lord, if we're in one of those circumstances, I pray that we'll be careful. If it's a Cherith, if it's a Zarephath, help us, oh Lord God, to let you deal with us. Because sometimes you bring us to those places to cut away and refine and purge us. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be willing to listen and be tender and yielded in those moments so that we can get to Carmel where the revival fires fall. Where the Jehovah God is revealed in a great way. Take this simple thought tonight. Challenge our hearts with it. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Is there somebody here tonight, Pastor Angel, I'm not saved? Pray for me. I don't know if I died right now, but I'd go to heaven. Anybody like that tonight? Would you raise your hand and let me pray for you? I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. There's a lot of folks already at the altar. If you want to join them tonight, you don't have to wait for the music. A place of humbling, a place of cutting. God taking you through a Zarephath. God taking you to a Cherith. Where God takes us sometimes before we can enjoy the Carmel, the revival fire. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Everybody say, Pastor Angel, I've been saved but not baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that tonight? Would you raise your hand? Saved but not baptized since I've been saved. Would you raise your hand this evening? Ladies, play softly if you would, please. Don't walk over folks. If you're done praying, let them pray. Ladies, revival fire on Carmel for the prerequisite service. Charity service. The Lord passes by tonight. Don't miss this opportunity. Would you come?